I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, broadcasting live from the Mac Hike of Flowood Studios this morning. Oh, lots to get to today. Well, some very interesting things about the prisoner swap that was all the news last week. Griner for this, I believe he pronounced his name Boot, character. As always, news kind of leaks out about these kinds of things after people pay closer attention to it. I'll admit I was not real familiar with this Boot character, but I had an interesting quote from him on Russian media. And also a little bit about his background. And then next hour, we're going to get into... they've held another exercise. Another World Health exercise. These were run by the same cast of characters who were responsible for Event 201 that came true. And so I guess paying attention to these exercises up front maybe is worth doing, and I have a larger question attached to the people that are putting these things on. So plenty of kind of big topics to get to today. First, we'll do quotes of the day today. A guy named Dave Benner, he lists himself as Thomas Paine promoter on Twitter. He said, the biggest welfare queens aren't single mothers trying to make ends meet. They're multi-billion dollar pharma giants, politically connected bankers, and the military industrial complex. Benjamin Franklin told us, we're going to lead into some economic news here, and this is a quote for every topic I cover today, and every day. Benjamin Franklin said, it is the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority. Unfortunately, we have a nation that questions the other side of authority and accepts our side's authority. And then one of my favorites ever. I would do this in audio form, but I've never bothered to edit it, and there's some FCC no-no words in this, but it comes from the great George Carlin. This is one of his most famous rants. It's certainly worth listening to. I think George Carlin really did a lot. It's interesting that... It's a shame that George Carlin has not been around for the past few years. During cancel culture, George Carlin would have been a priceless treasure. Would have been very interesting to see. Hopefully he would not have gone the way of a lot of other comedians. I kind of doubt it. George Carlin pretty much spoke truth to power his entire career. And I saw that there was a story this weekend. I guess Elton John left Twitter. And another one of these rock stars, bootlicker rock stars. I'm such a big Foo Fighters fan, and I watched a documentary recently that featured Dave Grohl, the incredible frontman of the Foo Fighters, really a fantastically talented band. But ever since they came out doing vaccinated only shows, my view of him, he's like a... Have you ever seen him? This may be just for me, but I can see an absolutely beautiful woman, but if she exposes herself as being a bit of a pain in the rear, high maintenance, they physically aren't as attractive as they used to be. It's an interesting psychological phenomenon. These rock stars, as much as I can love some of their music, some of the things that they have done, particularly over the last few years when it came to COVID and vaccinated programs, some of our own promoters here in the Jackson area started having vaccinated-only shows. It's just these people don't look the same to me anymore. But Elton John is one of these bootlickers. He has come out and said he's not going to be on Twitter, and that was followed up a couple of days later by the exposure of the fact that he had been trying to keep secret a sexual harassment claim against him, which he settled for, I believe, six figures. I found that kind of interesting about Elton John. He couldn't stand, he doesn't like the harassment, the digital harassment on Twitter. He prefers his harassment up close and personal. Elton John is old school. If you're going to harass somebody, do it one-on-one, face-to-face or hand-to-butt, whatever he got accused of doing. But Elton John was accused and settled a sexual harassment case, but he just can't abide by Twitter and all the free speech and what he views as harassment on that platform. Just rather interesting. But back to George Carlin. George Carlin said, they'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this blanking place. It's a big club and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long beating you over the head with their media telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, it doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. And that leads us into our first story today. More than two-thirds of Americans are having a hard time affording groceries as food costs continue to soar, according to new data. Retail technology platform Swiftly reported Wednesday that 69% of shoppers say they are struggling to pay their grocery bills after months of persistent sky-high inflation, and 83% currently rely on some form of coupons or loyalty program to put food on the table, according to its True Cost of a Grocery Shop survey. And, you know, to the Democrats out there, I carried out two bags of groceries on Saturday. It was $60. These were not heavy bags. Carry them both in one hand. Of course, there was some of that fancy contact solution that fizzes up. Stuff is expensive. It's like $20 for two big bottles of this stuff. So that's a little, that tilted it a little bit. But it was $60 for two little bags of groceries. But, you know, what's interesting is that to Democrats out there, this is what people can't really figure out with the midterms. Why would you want to stick with the current government when you are taking such a beating? When you're looking at 69% of shoppers say they're struggling to pay their grocery bills, and 83% are having to rely on coupons just to make ends meet. It is really amazing that the country said, we'll stick pat with our leadership. Now, it wouldn't have made any difference had the red wave come when it comes to inflation. So to the Republicans out there, the GOP will not do anything to fix inflation. Possibly better oil prices, possibly better energy prices, which would matter, but the inflation that we're seeing right now is an effect of money printing. It has nothing to do with one party or another. Any party that supports this Federal Reserve system that we currently have is guilty in this. People but think, though, that changing parties would change things. It's not true, but you would think that. So you think they would want a change in direction, but it really makes no difference. The lazy millennials out there also making the news. And I use that tongue-in-cheek. I think it is a real shame what we've done to these generations of our kids, the crap sandwich that we have made for them and are now serving them, and then we dare to judge them as a group. 9 million millennials moved back in with their parents this year. This is a story on Zero Hedge. It says the good news is that they still have jobs, if one believes the goal-seeking propaganda spewed by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This is why I love Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge does not take any of these government figures. You know, you read ABC, Fox News, CNBC, MSNBC. They take the government numbers and they just run with them. Zero Hedge will give you great stories, but they will just constantly make sure that you understand that what you're hearing from your government when it comes to economic news, it's all rigged. The numbers are so massaged and manipulated. At least they don't let them get away with that. They go on to say that the bad news is that soaring rents have forced millions of young Americans to move back in with their parents this year, according to a new survey. As Bloomberg's Alex Tanzi writes, about one in four millennials are living with their parents. This was according to a survey of 1,200 people by Polefish for the website propertymanagement.com. That's equivalent to about 18 million people between the ages of 26 and 41. More than half said they moved back in with their family in the past year. Among those who slunk back to their parents' basement, the surge in rental cost was the main reason given for the move. About 15% of millennial renters say that they're spending more than half of their after-tax income on rent. Holy cow. Can I read George Carlin again? Yeah, I'm going to go. I got to pull it back up. Because the man was certainly pressing. Well, I think he died in 2008. Am I correct in that? So this was from the early 2000s. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this blanking place. It's a big club and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. As an aside, let me just tell you, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care if you're black or white. I don't care if you're young or old. He means all of you. That's why George Carlin is one of the patron saints of the Mike Madison Show, because he understood you're all getting screwed by the same people, yet you're fighting each other. It's really almost humorous to watch. He goes on. He says, you and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club that they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long beating you over the head with their media telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, it doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. And I'll add, it matters none what color you vote for either. Or I'll take it in the shorts. Be right back.
You know the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side.
I heard the Stonington Farms commercial during the break just then, so let me remind everybody, this Friday, the 16th, at 3 o'clock in Brandon and at 4 o'clock in Northeast Jackson, they're right off I-55, Stonington Farm will be delivering small orders of their fantastic grass-fed, grass-finished, no hormones, no antibiotics, Mississippi-born, raised, and processed beef. Fantastic nutritional profile from a local farm at prices better than you can get at the grocery stores. I don't know what else there is to say about them. Fantastic people as well. If you want to place an order, you need to do it in the next couple of days. They are putting things together right now. I placed my order yesterday. I can't wait to see them. I'm running low on my Stonington Farm beef. I did not order enough last time. But go ahead and check them out. The website is stoningtonfarm.com, S-T-O-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N, farm, singular.com, Stonington Farm. If you can't remember that, if you're driving or anything, you can always email me, mikemadison@wyeb.com. I have a lot of inquiries about that, and I will direct you to them. You can check out their website, see everything that they offer. They also, if you are looking for holiday meats, what is today? Today is the deadline if you're looking for tenderloins, things like that, for your Christmas meal from Stonington. Today is the deadline, so make sure that you call them today on those things. But you can email me, mikemadison@wyeb.com. I'll put you in touch with them. You go to their website, you're going to end up getting a phone number. You're going to call down there and actually talk to probably Katie Stonington, and she will hook you up. Let you know when to meet her to pick the stuff up. They can also drop off along 49. They're coming up from Perkiston. So if you're along the 49 corridor, I guess our new signal is reaching further down 49. So if you are in that area, they will stop off and deliver you your meat. This is the way to do it. So again, stoningtonfarm.com deliveries this Friday. Make sure that you tell them WYAB sent you. More financial stuff. Boy, this is a, how about this for a story? You know, we're constantly talking about these politicians and gun control, and this is a rallying call of the right, rightfully, libertarian like myself, libertarians, I think I saw a tweet from the Libertarian Party that said it's time for some common sense repeal of laws against machine guns, something along those lines. I mean, you're not going to find more Second Amendment people than the current Libertarian Party right now. If you want to protect and expand your Second Amendment rights, the Libertarian Party actually takes the shall not be infringed part really seriously. They're absolutely fine with you owning a fully automatic weapon at the Libertarian Party. But we're always on kind of alert for Congress passing these gun control bills, particularly after one of these shootings sponsored by Big Pharma. But we need to be paying attention to the backdoor gun control. Gun rights advocates warned that a new change to the credit card industry to add a firearm and ammunition-specific merchant category code for gun stores wasn't about tracking guns necessarily, but could lead to the denial of lawful firearms purchases by law-abiding citizens. In September, Visa, MasterCard, and American Express all said they would adopt the MCC code to categorize gun sales at gun shops. Months later, social media posts of alleged gun stores and customers claim they experienced card issues. The Twitter account for a Battlecock Tactical tweeted, quote, "Federal firearms license gun shop," in a Facebook shared this, "Looks like the Doomers actually called how the new firearms merchant code would go down. And what they're showing is somebody went in to a retail establishment to buy $913.70, a transaction at a gun store, and the message that popped up said, transaction declined. Charge declined. Restricted card. Customer bank does not allow this card to be used at this type of merchant." They said that this was brought to you by Forked Bank in Kentucky. There's something appropriate about that name. It's F-O-R-C-H-T. And it says that the customer went straight to that bank and closed their account. But they are on social media right now, several images of these same things, these error messages. Transaction declined, charge declined, restricted card customer bank does not allow this card to be used at this type of merchant. So this is the back door to gun control, is that you may not be able to use your credit card, which brings us back to the topic of the central bank digital currency that they're currently testing right now. Can you only imagine if your government has complete control over your digital wallet that they will sell it to you under the guise of fighting black market, fighting money laundering, always doing these things for your safety and for your convenience? And so the government will issue you your digital tokens that you keep in your Fed-approved wallet. Can you even imagine what they could do when it comes to restricting gun sales? As I say, this is to be opposed to our very last breath, and it is currently, we're about week three or four into their 12-week beta test that I predict that they will come and tell us was a shining success early next year. And then they will come in. I believe it is, oh man, it's an African country right now. I'm not sure if it was Nigeria. One of the African countries right now has rolled out one of these digital dollars as one of their beta tests out there in the third world country. And I believe the last I saw was that they were restricting their citizens. They can still have cash, but they were restricting withdrawals from ATMs to $45 a day. Everything else that you do in this African country that is beta testing these central bank digital currencies, everything else has to be done through their digital currency there. You can have $45 a day. I believe the first I saw was $125 a day, and it quickly went to $45 a day. And this is the creeping encroachment that we will probably see here as well when it comes to how they roll these things out on us. We got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? Hello. All right. So be careful with that. There was also news Well, I think it was Charles had emailed this to me, and I'd seen it too. You know, China went to Saudi Arabia this past week and made some big deals. I watched a story about it. Xi Jinping, the Chinese dictator, he does not leave China very often, but he will go out and make some deals. It's amazing, too. China has a $200 billion military budget. We have currently, what was it? What did they settle on this time? $858 billion military. We send our sons and daughters out to fight and die in the sand and the muck around the world. China just goes out and takes little day trips and makes huge deals. So Xi Jinping has been going around the world, and the Saudi Arabians seem very, very friendly. Our good friends, the Saudis. We currently have 3,000 American troops protecting the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. They seem to be getting very friendly with the Chinese. And now Saudi Arabia and the Saudis are looking at joining these BRICS nations. And this is absolutely a tremendously huge story. We all know about the Twitter censorship of Trump and conservatives and COVID challengers, but this is full-on censorship. The fact that nobody's talking about this and kind of sneering at it at the government level. The United States has run the financial table since World War II. And now you might not realize this, or most Americans won't realize this, because I bring you these economic news. People are moving back in with their families. People can't afford groceries. And that's because, even though we had this benefit of the world reserve currency, our elites here in this country, for lack of a better word, they're wildly unimpressive, psychopathic people. They've tilted all of the benefits to themselves. About 90% of Americans have had falling wages for the past 40 or 50 years, but a billionaire class of corporate donors has risen to quite a great deal of prominence as we have run the petrodollar system and the dollar reserve system around the world. That thing is falling apart, and nobody seems to be paying any attention to it. The BRICS nations and this China deal with the Saudi Arabians, China wants to pay for oil in their own currency, the yuan. I don't know if you've been paying attention, if you've heard this show repeatedly. I've given you the list of other countries who threatened to trade their oil in something other than the U.S. dollar, and that list included Iraq, Iran, Syria, Libya. You see any themes throughout that? We beset ourselves upon Syria within probably just a few months of Bashar al-Assad saying, you know, I think we're going to start trading our natural resources, I believe, in the euro. Libya was actually considering, Muammar Gaddafi down in Libya was trying to put together a currency for the African continent that was backed by gold. We see what happened to him. So now the Saudis and the Chinese are talking about trading oil in yuan rather than U.S. dollars. So for all of you neocon conservatives out there who have been hoodwinked by Sean Hannity and the Republican Party to take this very aggressive stance against China, understand it's not because we should fear China militarily. They ain't coming across the Pacific. They ain't coming to take your stuff that way. But they are setting up a parallel system that will crush the U.S. dollar. Again, the vast majority of Americans have not benefited. Well, I take that back. We have all benefited from the world reserve currency, but not to the extent that the elites have. They are seeking only to protect themselves. All the saber rattling with China, with Russia, with any of these BRICS nations is all about securing the power and the profit of the very small 0.001% of people. And they've convinced a lot of Americans to be bloodthirsty in this. But do you know what will happen to interest rates should this conglomeration of countries? If you don't know what the BRICS countries are, it's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and now they've got about 20 other countries. Egypt, I believe Turkey, is talking about joining this thing. They, as far as population of the world, these are some of the most populous countries. Between Brazil, Russia, India, China, you've got billions and billions of people and an awful lot of the world's GDP going into this stuff. So if they do break the back of the dollar, and the entire reason that they'll break the back of the dollar is because the people running this country, both Republican and Democrat, have used the dollar as a weapon. the endless sanctions coming out of Washington, D.C. under the Biden regime, the Trump regime, the Obama regime, the Bush regime, all of these sanctions they've been putting over all these countries. These countries have finally had it, and they're all getting together. This meeting between the Chinese leader and the Saudi Arabians, this could be getting close to checkmate. And the other thing that I was thinking about, when I was thinking of the fact that, well, it's kind of interesting that China's over there making these big deals. They may actually break the petrodollar and start trading with China, which is one of the biggest consumers of oil in the world, of course. The fact that we had 3,000 troops over there actually protecting the Saudi Arabians at the time that the Chinese leader goes over there and makes this huge deal. For those of you who serve or are serving in the U.S. military, you're not protecting the United States from foreign armies. You're not protecting our freedoms. I'm sorry. I know that that's very popular. The military in the United States is used as a tool of the elites so that they can cling to power and money. You're a foot soldier for the gangsters of corporatism. Smedley Butler tried to tell you that back in 1933, I believe, when he wrote his book, War is a Racket, the most heavily decorated Marine at the time. So for those of you out there considering military service, understand what you're actually doing is protecting the financial wealth of those people at the very top. It has absolutely nothing to do with protecting the United States, protecting our country, protecting our freedoms, or protecting our way of life. As a matter of fact, we may actually be actively participating in helping to destroy it as we watch the United States kind of circle the drain. I wanted to talk a little bit about there was some wild hypocrisy. I couldn't get in a good audio clip of it on the CBS news break here on Friday. I got to figure out a way how to harvest those breaks. Certainly we have a way to clip them here. But there was some real outrage against Iran on Friday in one of the biggest displays of hypocrisy I've seen in quite a while. And that's saying something when it comes to the U.S. government.
Be right back. Around me. I need to feel your touch.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB here in the Mack Hike Flowwood Studios. There was a story on Friday that it made me chuckle just a little bit. Hypocrisy is an American pastime at this point. If you belong to either one of the two major political parties, you're guilty of tremendous amounts of hypocrisy. You have to be able to justify the things your party does. But the U.S. government is just the worst, the absolute worst in hypocrisy. And there was a story on Friday. I'll read this. I couldn't find a good audio clip of it because it almost sounds more delicious when you hear these cretins in Washington, D.C. accusing other countries of things that we do so out in the open. Russia and Iran's relationship has warmed to a fully fledged defense partnership, the U.S. has said. Russia is giving an unprecedented level of military support, says U.S. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. The U.S. has seen reports that the two countries are considering joint production of lethal drones, he said. It comes after Ukraine accused Iran of supplying Russia with kamikaze drones used in deadly attacks on the 17th of October. Let's see. They go down through this idea, but what the whole story was on Friday. I wanted to find what this Kirby said. Yeah, here it is. Speaking on Friday, Mr. Kirby, this is John Kirby. He's one of the worst. He was around during the Obama administration, and he has been brought right back. He is this deep state. He's a slimy little weaselly guy, too. Mr. Kirby said that a partnership between Iran and Russia to produce drones would be harmful to Ukraine, Iran's neighbors, and the international community. Quote, Russia is seeking to collaborate with Iran in areas like weapons development, training, he said, adding that U.S. fears that Russia intended to, quote, provide Iran with advanced military components, including helicopters and air defense systems. Do I really even need to point out the hypocrisy of this? The story on Friday on the CBS news break was just a bunch of pearl clutching about how the Iranians were providing weapons to Russia to be used in Ukraine. It is almost every 3 to 4 days now we see another package put together by the Biden regime to send military hardware, training, equipment, ammunition, drones, HIMAR rockets into Ukraine. And I've got, I don't know if I've got time to get to it today, I've got the situation that's going on in Ukraine here. There's a guy that does blogs on this stuff, goes by Moon of Alabama. He seems to kind of know what's going on down there. Now, I never know, you know, I look to Judging Freedom with Judge Napolitano, where he has Scott Ritter and Douglas MacArthur, and then a CIA stooge on to kind of balance it all out. But if you want to know what's going on in Russia, you should listen to Judge Napolitano on YouTube with Scott Ritter and Douglas MacGregor, who was Trump's national security advisor for about 2 weeks during his lame dunk period. Trump should have chosen him for the entire 4 years, but he did not. The situation in Ukraine, it is a meat grinder for the Ukrainian troops right now, apparently. I'll see if I can get to some of that stuff, but I just found it laughable that the U.S. government is, how dare Iran help Russia and send them weapons? That's not fair. This entirely NATO and American-sponsored war in Ukraine, completely outfitted with U.S. weapons and NATO weapons in this, for them to dare talk about another country helping Russia in there. And it's a good thing that Trump constantly attacked Iran on behalf of Israel for his 4 years, because that was just another thing that drove the Iranians into the loving arms of the Russians, just like China has been driven to become partners with the Russians. And I've got a clip from this boot character, the Merchant of Death, he's called here in the United States. It's a kind of an interesting clip on Russian media of him. As well as, we're going to take a look at who some of the real arms dealers around the world are. This guy, this one lone guy called the Merchant of Death, I'm not here to tell you he's a good guy, not at all. But if we can have a little bit of context and perspective when it comes to the Merchants of Death, I'll show you some of the numbers of who's leading the charge in that area. Be right back. So the story of the week last week, particularly on right-wing conservative talk radio, was the terrible deal for Brittany Griner's release versus the Merchant of Death, they called this boot character. It's B-O-U-T, I believe. I believe it's pronounced boot. It's a very interesting thing. I got a story from 2008 about this boot character that may be surprising to some people, but who are the biggest weapons runners, Merchants of Death, in the world? You and me. The American people. The American people that have their wealth stripped from them and sent to a centralized federal government that pays off the weapons manufacturers of the top eight merchants of death in this world. The U.S. has the top five spots. When it looks at defense contractors, weapons manufacturers, Lockheed Martin number one, Raytheon number two, Boeing number three, Northrop Grumman number four, General Dynamics number five, and then coming in at number six is BAE Systems, and that's an English outfit. They also get defense contractor dollars from the United States. And then rounding out 7 and 8 on this list at a fraction of what Lockheed Martin is, but they are Chinese companies. I would imagine we probably buy some weapons from them as well. I wouldn't be surprised. But when it comes to running arms, the U.S. federal government is certainly the most guilty of it on planet Earth. Now, I'm not in any way saying that this boot guy is a good character, but I'm going to play a clip from him as he talks about his time in an American prison and his view of the United States. And I would suggest to you that this guy that they're calling the Merchant of Death, that everybody is clutching their pearls over. The guy might should be in charge of NATO.
Do you hate America?
No. You know, in fact, I know.
Now, what the opening question is do you hate America? He's been in an American prison since, I believe, 2008. About 14 years in an American prison. And he's asked on Russian media, you know, he's making his victory lap. Russia's certainly trotting him out and saying, look what we got for that WNBA star. But they ask him on Russian news, do you hate America?
Do you hate America?
No. You know, in fact, knowing many inmates, I figure out we're sharing way more common. Maybe America is very much similar. Look, it's the same size. They have a... It's the same kind of this. And when you talk to them, there is nothing there even to beef about. We are naturally, you know, born not to be enemies. And whenever there's conflict, it's elites. You know, every, you know, American I met in a prison who is from rural area was very easy to deal with. He has no problem with Russia. And he was curious about Russia. Despite all propaganda, they're losing their Christian values. They're losing their families. They're losing literally their countries. It's not anymore the same country. We knew America, who used to be a model for entire world and lead and be an example, you know, like they say, a shiny town on the, you know, sparkling town on a hill. And this is, of course, pity. It was a strong country who was really a, you know, industrial might, you know, this one. And look, for 30, 40 years, deindustrialization, drug problem, crime waves. You can understand, and I feel more empathy to American after this experience than I would feel any hate.
Yeah, the guy should be in charge of NATO. I mean, he knows how to move weapons around. And he says that Russia and the United States are naturally, we should be, allies. We should be very friendly. We're very similar culturally in many different areas, but of course the elites don't like that. He saw other people in prisons, same people who have been screwed by the elites in this country. There might be some dangerous predators in prison, but we know there's an awful lot of people in prison just for breaking rules and regulations. But that's your Max Boot. I keep wanting to call him Max Boot, that neocon warmongering piece of human filth that you'll see on the media pretty regularly. But this was just kind of interesting. Here's a story from March 6th of 2008 about this merchant of death. And remember, this is 2008. This is towards, as we are wrapping up, 8 years of the George W. Bush Republican administration. This was actually a story on ABC News 14 years ago. When U.S. officials announced the arrest of a notorious arms dealer and drug runner this afternoon, the fact that his planes flew U.S. supply missions in Iraq will likely go unmentioned. In a January 2005 letter to Congress, then Assistant Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz, he is one of the head chief neocons that sucked Republicans into the warfare state. He admitted that the Defense Department, quote, did conduct business with companies that in turn subcontracted work to second tier providers who leased aircraft owned by the companies associated with Mr. Boot. At the time, Boot was already a wanted international fugitive. Intelligence officials had considered Boot one of the greatest threats to U.S. interests in the same league as Al-Qaeda kingpin Osama bin Laden. Interpol had issued a warrant for his arrest. The United Nations Security Council had restricted his travel. But that didn't stop the U.S. government contractors from paying Boot controlled firms roughly $60 million to fly supplies into Iraq in support of the U.S. war effort. That's according to a book released, I guess, in 2007 by two reporters who investigated Boot. And it didn't prevent the U.S. military from giving Boot's pilots millions of dollars in free airplane fuel while they were flying U.S. supply flights. There's your merchant of death. The U.S., you know, we do this. Hell, we were paying radical jihadists in Syria to try to level the place. The exact same ISIS types that we were sworn to fight, that they were... There was one behind every bush that hated us for our freedom, and for some reason the U.S. federal government was paying these radical jihadists throughout the Middle East. Anytime we wanted to topple somebody or cause some problems in an area, suddenly we allied with these same people. So this Boot character, if you're wondering where he got a lot of this money, probably to do some of his arms running, that was from you. That was from you and me. U.S. taxpayer dollars went to go pay this guy, this so-called merchant of death. And I don't have time to get in this, but there were some other comments that were made on this trade for Brittany Griner. Comments by some prominent Republicans that I think are worth examining. So I'll take a break, top of the hour news break, and then we'll come back and take a look at that. And then we're going to look at, they're running another exercise, another disease exercise, another pandemic exercise. Is it paranoid at this point to be very worried about these kinds of things? And then I'll give you my suspicions on how they might pull this one off. I think the setup for the next pandemic is almost perfect for really terrorizing people, even worse than they did with COVID, if you can even imagine that. But I think these are the kinds of things that are good to talk about up front. So when you start to see them emerge, we're already kind of inoculated against the fear campaign they're trying to roll out the next time around.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I am probably the only professed anti-war radio show, maybe in the state of Mississippi. For sure. I'm not sure why that's not why a conservative, Christian, small, limited government state is not rife with people who would consider themselves anti-war. I'm no theologian, but I would imagine it's probably pretty consistent with the Christianity that I was taught. But I am anti-war, and what's going on in Ukraine is really, really horrific. It's incredibly sad to me. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of our elite's response to this trade with Griner, but I wanted to read some of this, what is being reported, some in Polish newspaper. A Polish newspaper, NDP, that's an independent political journal, believes that without the support of NATO, the fighting in the Ukraine would end within a week. They said that daily losses of the Ukrainian forces, there's some town called Bakhmut. That's how it is written, B-A-K-H-M-U-T. I'd never heard this name before, but apparently the order has gone out that the Ukrainians cannot lose Bakhmut. It must have some strategic purpose. This Polish newspaper reporting that daily losses of the Ukrainian forces near Bakhmut reach a battalion 500 to 800 soldiers. That is the daily losses in this one area. This is another source that has made this claim, somebody reporting on Ukraine. LPR officials claim that Ukraine is transferring up to 500 men per day to Bakhmut to replenish losses. Even Aristovich admitted that Russian artillery strength in the sector has a 9-to-1 advantage. Now, this is very interesting because our mainstream media is telling us that Ukraine is winning this thing. That any day now, Vladimir Putin is going to be overthrown by his own country, so dissatisfied with him, they're not paying attention to his approval rating, which I believe last I saw was in the 80s. And this Bakhmut is becoming the largest and most costly battle of the war for Ukraine. Newsweek spoke with a former U.S. colonel who, together with volunteers, trains Ukrainian soldiers. Yeah, they're volunteers. Last I heard, I think it was $3,000 or $4,000 a day for these volunteers. These are some of the mercenaries, former U.S. military, Western military mercenaries that are over there. $3,000 or $4,000 a day. Not sure where that money's coming from, but as our treasury has been opened up wide to Ukrainians, it's probably us taxpayers who are paying the mercenaries over there. But here's what this former U.S. colonel had to say. Bakhmut is like Dresden. And the countryside looks like, and I can't even pronounce this, but he was referring to the German city destroyed by Allied bombing in World War II and the infamously muddy and bloody World War I battlefield. He said, it's just horrible and a miserable place. Ukraine closely guards its casualty figures, but its forces are believed to be suffering badly around this Bakhmut. Quote, they've been taking extraordinarily high casualties, Milburn said, of the unit's training with Mozart. The numbers you are reading in the media, about 70% and above casualties being routine, are not exaggerated. He said, despite the tremendous morale, Milburn said the defenders have an acute regeneration problem, which means getting new recruits into the line as quickly as possible. This means those being thrown into the fight have little beyond basic training. Quote, typically about 80% of our intake who are coming off of the line have never even fired a weapon before. This is Milburn. This is this former U.S. Colonel. We've got our work cut out for us, he says. This is a meat grinder in Ukraine. You're not hearing anything about this on the U.S. media. But these are Ukrainian men, I'm sure many of which just want to be living their lives, attending their children's birthday parties, going to work. But because Western powers have decided that they need to take Russia down a peg because of their competition, I guess, to the United States, particularly when it comes to energy, they are just putting these Ukrainian men into a meat grinder over there, 500 a day in just this one town. And now they are down to people who have never even fired a weapon. Just think about that next time you hear the Western media tell you that Ukraine is just about ready to win this war. If we just send them another few billion dollars, they're going to win this war. I wanted to talk about this too. Donald Trump weighed in on Truth Social about the Brittany Griner Merchant of Death thing. He said, I turned down a deal with Russia for a one-on-one swap of so-called merchant of death for Paul Whelan. I wouldn't have made the deal for 100 people in exchange for someone that has killed untold numbers of people with his arms deals. That's what Donald Trump said on the social media platform he founded, Truth Social. Now, I thought this was kind of interesting. Donald Trump, during his first visit to a foreign nation as president, President Trump announced a massive deal, $110 billion in arms sales to Saudi Arabia. He called the agreement tremendous and bragged about the billions of dollars in investments and the jobs that would be brought to the United States as a result. Understand that these weapons that Donald Trump transferred to Saudi Arabia were used to commit genocide on the people of Yemen next door to Saudi Arabia in that civil war over there. Donald Trump also provided lethal weapons to the Nazis in Ukraine during his term, which were used to murder ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine and help kickstart this entire war, proxy war in Ukraine. So I thought it was kind of interesting, this merchant of death. Donald Trump flooded the world with weapons. He was probably the greatest weapons salesman we've ever seen, and a lot of it led to this. He also said, quote, the deal for Griner is crazy and bad. The taking wouldn't have happened during my administration, but if it did, I would have gotten her out fast, exclamation point. Now, the interesting thing about that to me is the fact that this Paul Whelan guy was actually captured, I believe, in 2018 in Russia during Trump's term. Kind of interesting. That taking did take place. And he did not get him out fast, as he is still sitting in a Russian prison. Now, this Whelan guy, I have had trouble trying to, I tried to do a search and find out a little bit about this Whelan guy, but the first 50 sources were all U.S. media. I was looking for any investigative reporter or anybody that I might trust to report on this. This Whelan character most likely was a spy. Apparently, he was in and out of Russia quite often as a former Marine. And had several different passports at the same time. Feels kind of like a spook to me. So he probably was spying. You know, there's a lot of people who say Clay Edwards, famous for saying it, F around and find out. Well, that may be exactly what's happened to this former Marine, Paul Whelan, who was serving the empire and spying on Russia. That may be why he's sitting in a jail. I wanted to play this. I haven't even heard it. I ran across this, and I think it was couched as some level of truth. Between Tucker Carlson and Glenn Greenwald explaining exactly what's going on between the U.S. And Russia. And so we're going to listen to this together.
So, Glenn, what bothers me is not so much what Zelensky is doing. There's a lot of tyranny around the world. I don't brood on it. But the fact that, A, we're paying for it, and B, our leaders are defending it, I think every American should be upset about that.
And I believe what he's talking about, and I don't even know, I haven't heard this clip. I'm sure he's talking about the fact that Zelensky has shut down media. He has now, I believe he's outlawed the Orthodox Russian Church. He outlawed the speaking of Russian. He disbanded opposition political parties. He's doing all of the things that we would not consider, air quotes here in the studio, democratic. Zelensky is a complete authoritarian, backed up by Nazi stormtroopers in his country, and we're paying for it.
I think in general, Americans should be very skeptical when the U.S. government says we're going to fight in wars on the other side of the world. We're sending tens of billions of dollars in military aid in order to spread democracy. The U.S. government actually doesn't care about spreading democracy. Many of its closest allies in the world always have been and still are some of the world's most despotic regimes, like in Saudi Arabia, Egypt. Right. All the U.S. government cares about is that a government serve U.S. interests, not whether it's democratic or not. But if you want to believe the fairy tale that the U.S. government goes to war to spread democracy, Ukraine is not the place for you. You mentioned this argument, well, Zelensky's in war, he has to curb liberty. Go back to 2021, a year before Russia invaded, and you can find articles, just Google it, where he shut down opposition television stations. He's now shut down opposition parties. Every hallmark of what a despot and tyrant, not a Democrat, does is shaping the Zelensky government, and that was true well before Russia invaded.
How I wonder, I mean, two things. One, how can Republicans on the Hill continue to defend this? And B, what's it really about? Because I think you're right. Our foreign policy is almost always about defending our interests. I think it should be, actually. But I don't see our critical
interests. But these are not the interests of the American people. We don't benefit from these things in any way, shape, or form. It's bankrupting our country. The inflation you're suffering right now is in no large part, or in large part, part of this endless military spending. We've had to, we can't afford it. So we print up money for this empire, to maintain this empire, much like the Romans had to before their collapse. So the idea that American interests, it has nothing to do with the average American's interests around the world. These are corporate interests. These are pipelines. These are money laundering operations. These are not the interests of the American people. I'll diverge with Tucker there a tad bit.
Interests at stake here. So I'm not, what is this about?
Right. So I think the first point is, if the U.S. government were honest, and they should be, they would get rid of this whole script about, oh, we have to go and defend democracy. That's a fairy tale that tries to get Americans to feel better about the fact that we're involved in many, many countries all over the world. That's not the real reason. The only reason is to do it for vital U.S. interests. The line in Washington for decades was the U.S. has no vital interest in Ukraine. That was Obama's view. That was the bipartisan view. Why did that change? The only reason is because we saw an opportunity to trap Russia inside Ukraine, all based on the view that Russia is our enemy, something only Democrats should believe because they think Russia is to blame for the 2016 election and Hillary's victory. But why would Republicans want confrontation with Russia? What Americans does that benefit besides arms manufacturers?
Well, that's a really good question, and I haven't quite unraveled it. It seems pretty clear that the Biden administration baited Russia into this invasion. You had the vice president of the United States in Western Europe days before telling Zelensky to join NATO, which, of course, they knew was a red line. They wanted this invasion. That's my view. I think it's very obvious. You think this was all about preparing for a war with Russia?
If you think that Russia is a grave enemy of the United States, then it makes sense to try and lure them into a war that they can't win, like we got lured into one with Afghanistan for 20 years, or we lured the Soviet Union into a war with Afghanistan back in the 70s, because it does deplete your enemy. The question is, why should Russia be seen as our enemy? Both Obama and Trump said there's no reason to see Russia that way. It has 1/15 the size of our military budget. It's not threatening American borders. Why are we so obsessed with spending tens of millions of dollars to weaken Russia, which we could be using here at home to benefit the lives of American citizens, when Russia's not doing anything to the United States, unless you're a crazy resistance person who believes they're the reason Donald Trump won? But if you don't believe that, what is the rationale for this? There is none.
I know. And as usual, they've hijacked the best instincts of Americans their compassion and turn that against them. Glenn Greenwald, great to see you tonight.
Yeah, nothing really earth-shattering there. The United States spent 30 years provoking Russia. They certainly wanted this war. They created absolutely every condition. They crossed every red line with Putin and continue to do it. This does not have anything to do with defending democracy. It's absolutely absurd. But this is always the lie they tell us to get us into these things. I'll be right back.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
It may be strange to hear, but I am always on guard for whether or not I am being paranoid about things. There are so many things demonstrably bad for the American people going on that it's easy to believe just about anything at this point. And I am on guard. I talked the other day, and apparently my podcast file was somehow corrupted, but I talked about the Died Suddenly documentary. And I consulted with a surgeon himself to ask him. I said, have you seen this documentary? What do you think about these clots they're pulling out of people? I wanted to get, because I have no context for that. Of course, it's stunning to see them pulling clots out of dead people when we know that these shots have got problems with clots. People are getting clots from these shots. But I don't know. It made sense to me that a dead person with pooling blood for an extended period of time, the blood would clot and they would have to be pulled out. So I sent that to him, and he responded with a kind of a rebuttal piece by another embalmer who said a lot of this stuff that you're seeing, we see all the time. And so I am constantly, I don't want to be duped. I don't want to be paranoid. I want to focus my energy on where things I think are where the trouble is really brewing. I believe these central bank digital currencies are to be opposed with every fiber of our being because of the control they would have on our society. Maybe they're not planning on rolling these things out, but they're testing them. They're talking about them a lot. And in other countries around the world, they are rolling these things out. So I am actually pretty much on guard for trying to make sure that I am not being paranoid and jumping at every single thing. But I got to tell you, they have run another exercise. They have run another pandemic exercise. And there's a way to justify this. You know, there are bureaucrats and some of our horrific health authorities that probably believe that we just didn't do enough to counter COVID. They will never accept the fact that most of the people who died of COVID, the faultiness of the tests, the fact that the average age, I think, was close to 80 years old, which the same thing could be said for a bad flu season. Elderly people are susceptible to disease. I know in some countries, the average age of death was actually over the average age of mortality across the board anyway. Those people that were on their last legs in the first place. But there are people who will look at what this fear-mongering around COVID, and they'll say, oh my gosh, they will accept hook, line, and sinker. This million people have died in the United States from COVID, and they will think we just didn't do enough. So maybe that's what this is. But this is Bill Gates, Johns Hopkins, the same characters that ran Event 201, I believe that was in 2019, and then we were treated to the COVID pandemic and all of the scams associated with that, all of the fear-mongering, all the unjustified behavior that was enforced upon us. Well, now they have got catastrophic contagion, a global challenge exercise, and these people love to talk about their proactive nature of looking at these things. This is dated the 23rd of October of this year. I'm going to play a little bit of this clip. And we'll talk about what the setup for this thing could be, because this might be far too successful.
Officials in.
Now, this is one of these fake news reports. When they do these things, you know, they hire actors to play news people, and they put up phony news reports about the latest contagion. They did these. You can find these things from Event 201, where they talked about this outbreak here, this outbreak there, and, you know, to give it this feel of real world stuff. And that's what this is you're listening to.
two Latin American countries alerted the WHO of several outbreaks of a new infectious disease that's mysteriously appearing across the region. Severe Epidemic Enterovirus Respiratory Syndrome 2025.
There you go. SEERS. S-E-E-R-S. SEERS is what they are using as their new outbreak in this new exercise.
Over the past 6 weeks alone, there have been 500 confirmed or suspected cases reported. The virus could cause a severe pandemic if early containment and mitigation efforts are not successful.
The pandemic could...
Now, this is the round table where they bring all of these people, and one of these nut jobs is wearing a mask in this thing. Not all of them, strangely enough. And it says on this is actually the video from this exercise called Catastrophic Contagion. So these are these world health leaders brought around a table. It's always in a dark room, but they're well lit, and they have their country's name in front of them as they are all running this exercise and how they will all work together to beat this SEERS outbreak.
In this type of situation and trend, would be a risk for the global health security.
Pandemics are inherently political, financial, and so much broader.
We have not spoken on the leadership in country. And I think that we need to be also very careful. We cannot decide a lot of things without the leaders be involved and agree on that.
There is no substitute for national leadership.
It's important to support the local response or the national response.
Training those that are in these areas first, enabling them with the tools, protecting them, and if needs be, regional solidarity first.
At this stage, communication is key, and communication should include not just scientists with data, but also social, religious, and political leaders.
Trust. This is an essential issue. And trust was broken among countries, between populations and healthcare systems, between healthcare systems and governments.
I'm very sorry to say that in 2025, we need to strengthen the health system.
WHO needs to be a voice for the voiceless.
No one is safe until all of us are safe.
As of today, there have been an estimated 1 billion cases worldwide.
Now, this is, again, this goes back to like a fake news report. These are very highly produced things with these exercises. It does say in this thing, it says this is a fictional scenario, and it's got the little logo for catastrophic contagion, this exercise they're running. But this is, and they use this, made-up network GNN. As she is reporting on this outbreak in 2025.
With more than 20 million deaths, including nearly 15 million children. Countless millions are alive, but left with paralysis or brain damage. The most successful countries are those which invested in preparedness and trained for this moment years in advance. This included having full-time pandemic preparedness and response teams, which conducted detailed operational planning and routinely tested those plans through exercises and drills. If more countries had participated and heeded the guidance, the toll might have been much less.
Catastrophic contagion, a global challenge exercise. So what this is the people that ran the COVID operation, the people who shut down churches, and shut down businesses, and shut down schools, and forced masked people, and forced vaccinated people around the world, their view going into any future pandemic is, we didn't do enough. They didn't think that they did enough. And what they're going to do with this next one, and I'll tell you why. There's even a news story out right now that seems like they have got this thing set up to run out a real fear campaign, because what this past experience with COVID has done has probably made a lot of people more susceptible to the next disease. And because they are more susceptible to the next disease, they can make it that much more scary. We'll talk about a story that just came out today, talking about a trend of 2020 that is concerningly reemerging. We'll do that when we come back. Stick around.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYEB. So with everything that we know now about COVID, the story should be this was a disease that attacked the elderly and the morbidly sick. If you were a person under 65 years old in good health, you should not have altered your life in any way whatsoever. The masks don't work, so that was never a mitigation effort. Certainly none of the directions on the grocery store floors or the closing of beaches or of schools. We should have altered absolutely nothing about our lives except maybe to go to elderly people who were frail and infirmed and said, look, there's a disease out there circulating around. This might not be the time for you to go into big groups. That would have been it. But that's not the lesson that we are taking from this. And we're talking about this catastrophic contagion exercise run by Bill Gates and Johns Hopkins, again, pointing to this new SARS virus that they are predicting for 2025. I'll be honest with you, that almost makes me feel good that they may give us a couple of years break, but that's just a random date. They can roll these things out at any point. This is a clip about what the reason for these exercises are.
What makes an exercise really, really valuable is if it's firstly well planned and thought through, but then if the results of that exercise are thought about and then changes that are suggested by what we learn are actually implemented.
Most of us don't respond well if we face something that's rare and catastrophic. It's almost like inoculating them. Exercises are a form of inoculation for emergencies. You start to bring together people that need to respond to the crisis, but they've never met each other before. They don't usually work with each other. And people from different departments getting to know each other and learning to cooperate really helped.
So different sorts of exercises that I've participated in have included all government agencies here in Australia working together to work through the consequences of pandemic. I've participated in several of those.
The value comes in the not only the learning, but the interaction that you have with others.
This exercise was particularly valuable because it catalyzed, it brought together the essence of what can we do to be prepared for a situation that is, per definition, unpredictable.
That interactive experience and working with people who can contribute and who can add new perspectives is something that I think is of great value.
So what's sick about this is that, you know, schools do fire drills. Did them back when I was a kid. There's some value to that for kids to kind of understand if there was a fire in the school, what to do. Some level of planning for possible events. EMTs and hospitals maybe preparing for a train wreck so that they know they have some muscle memory on what to do if a train crashes and they need to go rescue a large number of people and how that might affect the hospital and staff and just all of these things. There's a value in planning for these things, but the people planning for this, what's it called? Catastrophic contagion are the same people that did Event 201, the same people, and they have never uttered out of their mouths, we got everything wrong about COVID. We got everything wrong. The plexiglass barriers, the social distancing, the randomness of 6 feet, which meant absolutely nothing to an aerosolized respiratory virus, the masking. They've admitted absolutely no failures except for the fact that all of those things would have worked if they'd done them harder. And so that's what they're planning now. They will see the mistakes of COVID not being in an overreaction. They will see it as an underreaction for the next pandemic. So it's sad because there could be some real value to having people practice for some level of a pandemic. But the people practicing this that are setting these policies ahead of time to be proactive, they're not honest people. They're certainly not smart people. A lot of smart people out there, a lot of smart immunologists, a lot of smart virologists, a lot of smart people out there. You can tell who the smart ones were during COVID. They were the ones that were kicked off of Twitter and depersoned during COVID. Most of them have turned out to be right about a whole host of things. And the Fauci wing, the WHO wing, the Bill Gates wing was wrong about everything. And yet they are still in charge and still running these exercises. I ran across this story. And this was just a headline. This was clickbait to me because I certainly wanted to see what they were talking about. The headline was COVID trend that spelled big trouble in 2020 is back. I am on record saying many, many times they are not done with us with this stuff. And I am seeing more terror and more masks in grocery stores even now. And nothing has been happening. So people are on a hair trigger to be terrorized again. This is... I guess you pronounce this thing DNews, DNYUZ.com. This was linked on Drudge Report. In the early months of the COVID pandemic, elderly people were at much greater risk than younger friends, family, and neighbors. It was simple. Weaker immune systems and more comorbidities, other diseases and conditions made COVID more dangerous for people around 65 years and older. Of course, this didn't stop them from shutting down middle schools. When our children had a statistically 0% chance of bad COVID outcomes, it didn't stop them from doing that. But this is true that the elderly were hit with whatever it was. A bad flu season hits nursing homes and the elderly worse than it does the rest of the population. That's life on planet Earth. This story goes on to say this, quote, pandemic of the elderly, unquote. Boy, it wouldn't have been nice if they had just called it that in the first place and left us all, the rest of us alone, eased as seniors all over the world rushed to get vaccinated in late 2020 and the new, more transmissible Delta and Omicron BA2 and BA5 variants became dominant and tore through the younger, fitter part of the population. But that was more than a year ago. This is the story. Now there are signs that, once again, COVID is disproportionately afflicting older people. It's like 2020 all over again, and the seniors in one country are especially at risk, and they point out China. They say the data seems clear. Eric Topol, the founder and director of the Scripps Research Translational Institute in California, crunched the numbers from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and concluded that in many U.S. states, including New York and California, the rate of COVID hospitalizations for seniors, quote, now exceeds the BA5 and BA2 and Delta waves. Well, what can you say about seniors, particularly in the states of New York and California? I think it is probably very, very safe to say, without any numbers right in front of me, that the seniors in New York and California in particular are probably the most heavily vaccinated group in the country. And now they are being hospitalized at rates that, quote, now exceed the BA5 and BA2 and Delta waves. My point being, if this vaccine... air quotes around the word. If this shot that they have given everybody has weakened the immune system of not only seniors, but any of you young adults and, heaven forbid, kids who have taken this thing, now our immune systems for about 60, what did we end up with in this country? About 2/3 of people accepted at least one of these shots into their lives. Now, I would imagine most people got at least two, even though they have fallen out of love with the boosters, finally realizing that they make absolutely no difference. But about 2/3 of the American citizens and billions of people worldwide took these shots that are being shown to have damaged the human immune system. And so now, when a new pandemic... air quotes around that, too. I'm sorry. That's an annoying term that I just coined when I first came on air, and I continue to use it because there's so many. I mean, when the media tells you a huge lie, when you utter their lie, I have to put air quotes here in the studio around those words because it's their words, but it's not real. It's not the truth. So when this new, air quotes here in the studio, pandemic comes, it could be something very, very mild that we would have had no concern about just a few years ago. But because we've compromised so many people's immune system with billions of people getting these shots, that these new diseases are going to get more serious. You see how this feeds itself? You damage the human immune system of two-thirds of the American people, and then when any little disease comes around, because these people have impaired immune function, it becomes a much more serious thing than it would have been before. They react to the seriousness of this not by saying, oh my God, we destroyed people's immune systems, what have we done? But instead saying, look how deadly this new strain or this new SARS from catastrophic contagion, the new bug that they're touting out, trotting out for us. They're going to make this thing feel like it is more deadly. And it may be more deadly and more transmissible and more everything because we've damaged so many people's immune systems. And their reaction to that is going to be, what? Anyone? Anyone? More restrictions and then probably more shots that would ultimately damage more people's immune systems, which makes us more susceptible to the next bug, which makes for a more hyperventilating, hysterical reaction to the next bug. Do you see what I mean? This hamster wheel that we are on, where the shots damage the immune system, so a bug comes out, it appears more serious because of the damaged immune systems, to which they overreact to that. I mean, as I said, I'm on guard for being paranoid. But I think at this point, there's so many great memes out there that says, you know, I'm no longer a conspiracy theorist because everything we've talked about has come true. We're all out of conspiracies that have not been proven out. But these exercises, it's, again, I'll give them this. It makes sense that health authorities would practice for a pandemic. The problem is, it's the same people who practiced for the last one. And these things always seem to come. This is notwithstanding terror drills that somehow go live. Now, do people remember the 2007, I believe it was, the terror drills that went on in England? The subway bombing drills? And what happened during that exercise? You can go look this up. It was very fast. I mean, you want to talk about a big coincidence. During these bombing drills in London, the bombers actually let off live bombs at exactly the same sites that the authorities had set up for simulated bombs. I mean, I remember an interview with one of the police captains. He said, it's the strangest thing. This exercise that we were doing just for preparedness for subway bombings actually turned into a live event because these terrorists had set off subway bombs right where we were practicing at the exact same time we were practicing. You can go look this up. I mean, you find that clip. These exercises have a way of becoming real. Event 201 did, and now we've got catastrophic contagion. Am I being paranoid? All right, I've only got a couple of minutes left in the show today, and I really had wanted to get into this. I may flesh it out more on another day, because I was looking at this catastrophic contagion exercise, this handful of people running this thing, Johns Hopkins, Bill Gates, all the usual suspects, and it got me thinking, how many people are actually just really destroying our way of life? It's small. Now, there's a lot of little people at UMC or places like that, health departments who buy into the fear. They will buy into the propaganda of their leaders, but the people, the Faucis, the Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi, the Bill Gates internationally, the people who make decisions on these wars, the little handfuls of groups that say we're going to trigger Russia to go into Ukraine. And basically every other war, it's always these small. What would the number be worldwide? We got 8 billion people on planet Earth. And 99.9999% of those people are just trying to live their lives, raise their children, enjoy some decent quality of life, strive to achieve better things, enjoy the simple things in life. And I would say it may be 10,000 people. And that even seems high to me, but worldwide, every government's full, infested with these control freaks and these people who manipulate their entire societies for their own benefit. But 10,000 people. Hell, if it's 100,000 people, we still would outnumber them 80,000 to 1. If it's 10,000 people in this world really screwing things up for the rest of us, the Bill Gates of the world, the Anthony Fauci's of the world, the military-industrial complex people, the neocons of the world. If it's 10,000 people, we outnumber them 800,000 to 1. Yet we are allowing them to take us down path after path that are affecting all of us. This seems like it could be simple to solve. This show is certainly a populist show. It's just not right populist or left populist. It's about 8 billion to 10,000. Is the populism I talk about. We've got to root these people out of our society. It seems like it should be easy. Apparently it's not. It's all the time I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.